this project can be done without changing the highways, really and truly, but it can't be done safely. That's the deal.
Pipeline representatives bring more information to Haines residents. And could conflict management training help in the Chilkat Valley's Heliski debates? It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Skagway Panthers girls and Haines Glacier Bears boys are headed to the state basketball tournaments after winning their division's championship games on Friday. More coverage from the regional basketball and cheer, stunt, and dance teams to come later in the week as teams return home from competition. The Haines Borough is thinking about turning to conflict management to work through the issues surrounding the Chilkat Valley's heliski industry. In a draft resolution that will be discussed at this week's assembly meeting, borough entities proposed creating a work group of people trained in conflict management to explore solutions to the problems that have historically divided the community. In addition, the group would be tasked with looking for areas of potential growth for the industry. According to the draft resolution, a work group would be made up of two representatives from the ski industry, two residents concerned with noise impacts, one member of the Chamber of Commerce, one person representing conservation issues, the borough manager, and an assembly member. Work group members would ultimately be decided by the assembly's majority vote, and the borough would provide training in conflict management to the members. The draft recognizes both the promising economic impacts of the industry and the various complaints from residents, saying positive communication and conflict management skills could bring greater understanding among the sides. The resolution was prepared by Assemblyman Steve Vick and Damon Hoffman and recommended by the Government Affairs and Services Committee. The Haines Assembly next meets Tuesday, March 9th at 6:30 p.m. at Haines Assembly Chambers in the Public Safety Building. At the regular meeting, the Assembly will also continue discussing concerns regarding the implementation of the latest heliski ordinance brought forward by the manager at the last meeting. Late last week, representatives from Denali, the Alaska Gas Pipeline, visited Haines to present their plans to build a gas pipeline from Prudhoe Bay to Alberta, Canada. According to their design, Haines would play a role in what would be the largest private construction project in North American history.
Basically, at this point in time, it's a fourth duration pipe, and there's 2 to 3 years in there.
2 to 3 years of pipe coming through?
Yes.
J.D. Adkins with Denali said in a committee of the whole meeting on Thursday night that besides using Haines as a port for 2 to 3 years, they would look to Northern Lynn Canal residents to fill jobs throughout the state.
Now, is Haines still relevant after that, or is that our role?
You know, for us, you know, Haines is quite a way off the route, so it sort of fades back in the background in reality.
Okay.
So it's at this point, it's just a surge of activity and it fades out. The one thing that we look for from Haines is actually potential people to help with the pipeline if they want to relocate to different parts of the state to help operate. And Haines, you know, one of the things we'll need with this pipeline, it's not just people to operate the pipeline, do the maintenance on it, it's actually more engineers, more accountants. Financial people can work out of headquarters.
A big milestone of the project is the company's open season, scheduled to begin next month and run until October. The close of that period should shed some light on the viability of the pipeline project.
The open season that we've been talking about is actually the process that allows the gas producers and the other entities to reserve space on the pipeline. And basically they do this by making a long-term financial commitment to the pipeline. Open season does provide for open access. I know that's one thing that everybody basically has feared with the oil companies being involved in this, but FERC regulates that anybody that wants to ship gas down one of these pipelines will have the ability to do it. Basically, this gives the shippers, which are basically the people that own the gas on the slope, a little more incentive to assess the markets to see if they're going to have enough support for this project.
But Denali is just one of two competitors vying for the project, with TransCanada and Exxon attempting the same feat. They announced their open season in February. Either way, Haines is likely to be included.
Once you get past the open season, you continue the engagement with the affected communities, and Haines would be one of those places we've looked at being affected because we have potential plans to bring pipe through this area, actually to the route from the Canadian border to Kluane Lake in that area. More field studies, more engineering, more route refinement, and So it continues on and on till you get up enough data to present your plan first.
Haynes, like places such as Seward, Anchorage, and Point McKenzie, would be used to move the material for about 100 miles of pipe between the Canadian border to Kluane Lake. That'd mean trucks carrying sections of 80-foot pipe weighing 20 tons each along the highway for 2 or 3 years.
One of the things about what they're telling me about the trailers that they have, they're self-steering type tracking trailers. It's easy to do.
Denali's logistics division has been working with the Department of Transportation to determine what upgrades to the state's highways would be necessary for safe, year-round travel. They've already been surveying Haynes facilities and roads to gather their information.
This project can be done without changing the highways, really and truly, but it can't be done safely. That's the deal. We think it can be done, but logistically, we don't feel it's the safest thing between the people trying to fill the pipeline with people that have to use the roads every day. So that's what we've been trying to work through all highways. Any of the highways would be affected by the project. I mean, there's a lot of things like bridges, turnout lanes, things like that that will need to be built to actually accommodate this. You know, one of the things about this pipe, I mean, I think the average speed down the road will be about 45, 50 miles an hour or so at the minimum when they're loaded. The trucks are built to handle.
Adkins shared with the assembly that 35 trillion cubic feet of gas is estimated to be in the North Slope at this point.
To give you an idea of how much that is, if you take this pipeline flowing at 4 billion cubic feet of gas a day, it'll take between 25 and 27 years for just that gas to flow down the line from the North Slope. To give you an idea of how much gas that is, that's 6 to 8% of the U.S. daily consumption of gas.
The 1,800-mile pipe would be buried and follow existing pipeline from Prudhoe Bay to Delta Junction, then the Alaskan Highway to the Alberta border. There, it would feed into the existing infrastructure of pipe that feeds the major gas markets across the U.S. and would pump 4 billion cubic feet of gas a day.
The pipeline itself, it's a very large diameter pipeline. It's a 48-inch pipeline, and it'll basically be about an inch thick. One of the things that is a lot different from this pipeline than the CAPS line is we will be buried basically 99% of the way. And the way we can do this, we plan to refrigerate the gas to keep it from melting the permafrost. So up until about Kluane Lake, somewhere in that area, our engineers have looked at the design of this where that's the point where they can stop refrigerating the gas, and from there on, they don't have to have any extra refrigeration. To give you an idea of how much steel this will take, about 2 to 3 million tons of steel will actually be required to build this pipeline. Of this type of steel that we will use to build this pipeline, it's about 2 years of the world supply.
The project would no doubt present business opportunities and jobs. Denali estimates 6,500 pipeline jobs per construction season. It would also encourage further gas and oil exploration in the state. And it could give Alaskans and Canadians a way to access gas at least 5 offtake points in the line. Tok is one candidate for a point near the Northern Lynn Canal, according to Adkins. Denali, the Alaska Gas Pipeline, was formed in June 2008 as a joint venture between ConocoPhillips and BP. Denali has so far put in $135 million of what would be a multi-billion-dollar project. To make the pipeline happen, a 160-acre gas treatment plant would have to be built off Prudhoe Bay to process the product, and an additional 1,500 miles of pipe from Alberta to Chicago may be necessary. Denali is now working towards their phase two, entering into open season and working on access agreements for the pipeline's route. Phase three is about permitting, regulatory applications, training, and further discussion with communities like Haynes. And Adkins says the first pipe could be in Haynes in 4 or 5 years. In the meantime, Assemblyman Steve Vick wants to know what Haynes can do to get ready.
Is there anything that we should do to prepare now, as all these people are pitching their ideas between the end of the year, or is it pretty much for Haynes just to kind of sit and wait until something happens?
Yeah, this is the thing that we're working with other communities on. This year is a commercial year. Basically, unfortunately, it's a year where there's not a lot of progress on infrastructure and things like that. We just need to sit and wait and see how this progresses.
Veteran Outreach Services are coming to the Northern Lynn Canal this week to offer information about benefits available to former service members of all branches of the U.S. military. On Tuesday, March 9th, representatives from the Alaska National Guard Yellow Ribbon Program will be at the Skagway Chamber of Commerce Meeting Hall from 10 a.m. to noon. In Haines, former military and their families are invited to the Haines Library from 5 to 8 p.m. Then, on March 10th, the Yellow Ribbon Program will be in Clukwan at the ANS Hall from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. The information fair is for all former and current members of the military, including their families, Alaska Territorial Guard, and military dependents, and will go over VA benefits, TRICARE benefits, retirement benefits, military entitlements, and funeral honors. For more information, call Alice Barr at 545-1171. I'm Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS. You can listen to KHNS News anytime, online at khns.org. Just click on the Listen tab for stories from the last week, or go to Archives for earlier stories.